Live from KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. The Alaska legislature convened for a special session today after failing to finish its work on time yesterday. The legislature will consider a compromise criminal justice bill next week that will lead to longer criminal sentences. And members of both the House and Senate say the compromise fully repeals the controversial three-year-old law known as Senate Bill 91. Wasilla Republican Senator Mike Schauer says the bill provides what residents concerned about crime have been seeking.
This is now a repeal of SB 91. It's gone. It's wiped out. There is nothing left of that bill that matters to the public or impacts public safety. So that is the first and foremost thing. Alaskans wanted it. They demanded it. We did it. I don't know how we did it, but we did. And it's done.
Anchorage Republican Representative Chuck Kopp says members from both chambers found areas to improve the bill by working together. Kopp says the next step for the state is to invest in rehabilitating people who've committed crimes.
We can't just be tough on crime and not realize we also have to be tough on the causes of crime, which is largely substance abuse, behavioral health, mental health issues.
Anchorage Democratic Representative Matt Klayman says the compromise is a first step.
The risk with longer sentences is if we don't have rehabilitation as part of it, what we're going to see is more and more expenses for corrections and eventually a need to build another prison.
Kopp says he expects the bill to cost more than $100 million per year. The cost will include reopening Palmer Correctional Center. Lawmakers say the increase in the number of prisoners will also lead to some prisoners being sent out of state. House plans to consider the compromise bill on Monday. The Senate will take it up later next week. The crime bill was one of three items that Governor Mike Dunleavy included on his call for the special session that began today. The other items are three budget bills and a bill on education funding. Yesterday, the Alaska legislature did pass a bill allowing businesses like the Alaska State Fair and others to continue selling alcohol. Several businesses and venues across the state were caught off guard when the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board began denying recreational site license renewals last year, saying they did not meet the criteria in state law. Senate Bill 16 broadens the state's legal definition to include places like performing arts centers, bowling alleys, and ski areas, many of which had sold alcohol for decades without issue. General Manager of the Alaska State Fair, Jerome Hertel, said he was relieved by the news.
We were very happy with the outcome that the Alaska State Fair was able to be grandfathered in.
The bill was introduced by Soldotna Republican Senator Peter Michicki, initially just to address the state fair. As the bill progressed, more businesses came forward with similar dilemmas.
The bill started slim, it grew, and then went on a diet in the last couple of days. So it got back to our original intent, and that was to save businesses that were at risk because of the board's recent actions on recreational site licenses.
Juneau Representative Sarah Hannon introduced an amendment Wednesday to include Eagle Crest Ski Area. The alcohol board denied Eagle Crest's application to sell beer and wine last fall, even though several other ski areas in the state were already selling alcohol. Hannon said this solution is short-term since license renewals happen every 2 years. She said another bill introduced by Michicki this session is the larger effort to rewrite the state alcohol statute known as Title IV.
This was really, these 11 businesses, including the Alaska State Fair, who weren't going to be able to carry on their businesses as they do now in the absence of a Title IV rewrite.
The legislature will revisit that bill next year. Erica McConnell, director of the State Alcohol and Marijuana Control Office, said the alcohol board plans to revisit the denied license renewals at its next meeting after Governor Mike Dunleavy signs SB 16 into law. The board meets next on July 9th. As President Donald Trump's trade dispute with China continues to drag out, some of Alaska's biggest exports expect to be hit with even steeper tariffs than they've seen in recent months. Now, the timber and seafood industries are trying to figure out how to do business as the pressure mounts. From Alaska's Energy Desk, Elizabeth Jenkins has more.
The Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute is always on the lookout for innovative ways to create demand for the state's catch. Sometimes that includes sending salmon to influencers on Instagram. Other times, strategizing how to get more of the product into the global market. Jeremy Woodrow, a director at the organization, says that's what they've always done.
But the urgency is probably greater than it has been in recent years.
That's because some types of fish caught in Alaska could be 25% more expensive when the product is sent to the markets in China, a country that buys about a quarter of the state's seafood. Earlier this week, China's finance ministry announced it would be increasing tariffs, a move prompted by President Donald Trump's latest wave of tariffs imposed on Chinese goods. The tariff increase cuts both ways. Processed seafood that's exported back to the U.S. could be subject to a 25% tariff imposed on China. In other words, American consumers could also pay more for their U.S.-caught fish sticks. Woodrow says that's created some uncertainty for Alaska's seafood industry.
When a product is now subject to increased tariffs, that makes that product more expensive to consumers.
And those consumers might just go for a cheaper alternative to Alaska's wild-caught fish. But Woodrow says the industry is already thinking about some workarounds. Right now, Alaska seafood is processed and sold in China. That's where the tariffs stack up. But having the fish processed in Poland could be another way to avoid that. So Woodrow doesn't think it's all doom and gloom.
There is reason to be concerned. However, I don't think the sky is falling yet.
But the situation is very different for Eric Nichols at Alcan Forest Products in Ketchikan.
You know, we don't have many options to put that log in another marketplace. And so we're very dependent upon what happens with that Chinese market.
Nichols will be on the hook for a 20% tariff for spruce trees shipped to his biggest customer, China. His company sends mostly barges of young growth trees harvested from southeast Alaska to the country. And he says that's the problem. He doesn't have enough high-value product to help ride out the volatility.
When we don't have the access to old growth anymore, then we don't have those diversity of markets. So if we have one interruption like these tariffs, then it puts you in a situation where you've got to decide whether you're going to be able to stay in business or not.
And that's a big concern among Southeast Alaska's small, struggling timber industry. A few efforts underway could result in more old-growth trees being sold in the region. But in the meantime, Nichols is trying to get by now. And he says this trade dispute is making it harder. Still, he's not ready to stop his operations just yet.
You want me to lay off everybody? You know, I have bank payments. I have equipment payments. I have a number of employees that count on us for a very regular paycheck.
The tariff increase on U.S. exports could take effect June 1st if a deal between the White House and China isn't reached. From Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Elizabeth Jenkins in Juneau.
In the aftermath of Monday's fatal mid-air float plane collision, Ketchikan residents did what they always do. They helped. First responders, volunteer crews, Good Samaritans, nurses, doctors, local businesses, and individual residents came together after the disaster to rescue and treat survivors, recover those who died, mourn with families, and provide financial assistance where they can. An impromptu noon prayer gathering at the local hospital brought out 150 people on short notice the day after the crash. Over the next couple of days, many locally owned businesses announced they would donate proceeds from a day's sales to the family of 46-year-old Randy Sullivan, the Mountain Air pilot and Ketchikan resident killed in the crash. Memorials are planned this weekend for Sullivan. Local pilots have organized a missing man formation flyover in his honor. That's on Saturday. On Sunday, a memorial gathering will take place at the Ted Ferry Civic Center. The U.S. House yesterday passed a bill that would clear a legal cloud over whether Alaska tribes can put land in trust. By a wide margin, the House passed a bill saying the U.S. Interior Secretary can take land in trust for any tribe the federal government recognizes, and the bill specifically includes Alaska Native tribes.
Where that happens in Alaska, I think they should have exactly the same protections that we're proposing for all tribes.
That's the sponsor of H.R. 375, Republican Congressman Tom Cole of Oklahoma. When the Interior Department accepts a tribe's land in trust, the land falls under tribal government authority as though it's a reservation. Alaska tribes see land in trust as an opportunity to impose law and order in their communities and as a path to new kinds of economic development. But opponents say states lose when tribes put land in trust. Republican Congressman Paul Gosar of Arizona sees this as a route to more Indian gaming.
H.R. 375 will result in a flood of new off-reservation casinos that cause harms to state and local communities.
Until the Obama administration, Alaska tribes weren't allowed to put land in trust on the theory that it wasn't allowed under the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act. State Attorney General Kevin Clarkson holds that view. The Trump administration is reconsidering the question. Alaska Congressman Don Young voted in favor of the tribal land trust bill yesterday. His spokesman says he supports the Interior Secretary's existing authority to accept land in trust for tribes. And here's the Juneau area weather forecast from the National Weather Service. Tonight, periods of rain, lows in the mid-40s. Friday, rain likely, highs in the mid-50s, light winds. If we zoom in on Juneau specifically, tonight, periods of rain, low around 46. Friday, rain likely, mainly before 10 a.m., cloudy with a high near 56. And that's the KTOO News Update for Thursday, May 16th, 2019. I'm Jeremy Shea.